Hey, Christchurch, let's say a prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are Jireh, that you are always more than enough for all that we need. I thank you that you are a God who provides and we can count on you. I pray, Father, that you would help us today, that you would encourage us, strengthen us, direct us in the way that we should go, that we might be the men and women you've created us to be. Help us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So I read an article this week about how we think. I find our brain so fascinating, and it talked about a study that was done a little bit ago that said of the thousands and thousands of thoughts we have every single day, about 80% of our thoughts are negative. And usually our negative thoughts fall into a couple categories. One of the categories is regrets from our past, right? Like when we start down the thinking spiral, we start thinking like, oh my gosh, what was I thinking? Why did I do that? Why did I say that? I wish I wouldn't have been there. I wish I wouldn't have gone to that. And we have these regrets that we wish we could do things differently. Some of the negative thoughts that pop into our head are fearful, right? Like we have the fear of what's going to happen next, fear of the future. Like what if the worst possible things happen? And Lord knows that the last however long I've lost track that the world has been crazy weird in this pandemic has given us enough to be afraid about. But we start thinking of fearful things. What if I get sick? What if I lose my job? What if the world comes crashing down? And we have all these fears that affect our thinking in negative ways. Some of our negative spirals go into unhealthy comparisons. We have a ton of images that we compare ourselves to, right? Like between magazines and TV and movies and Lord knows social media. There's all these studies now about how unhealthy it is for our young girls because it's all these unhealthy comparisons. I'll never look like that. I'll never be like that, right? Sometimes even as adults, we see all these great images and my home will never be that way. My family's never gonna act that way, right? We try to get a family picture done and everybody's crying and sweating and it's miserable. And then you see this like beautiful, filtered, framed picture and you're like, okay, don't feel quite enough. And we have all these unhealthy comparisons we do. We hear about other people's work experience and you're like, okay, my job's not that way. And we feel bad about ourselves. And some of our negative thoughts go into the blame. And we have a long list of whose fault everything that's wrong is, right? It's the government's fault. It's those people's fault. It's my family's fault, my parents' fault. It's my spouse's fault. And we have all of these blame, right? Like your fault I feel this way and your fault that this happened. And our blaming is basically us taking our anger and our pain and our discomfort out on whatever we can find to make us feel more in control, right? It's their fault. I can put my anger there and it makes me feel more in control. And with all these negative thoughts running through our mind, it feels like if 80% are negative, it's just too much. And studies have also revealed that we are bombarded, listen to this, about 500 times a day with unintentional and intrusive thoughts. So basically, they last about 14 seconds, these 500 like really negative, bad, just intrusive thoughts we don't want to think. So almost 2 hours a day goes into thoughts we don't want to think. And of all the things that are running through our head, how many of them are actually true? How many of them have actually happened, or how many of them actually help us be a better person, or even are helpful to us in any way? And it matters because most of the time, we don't even do anything to check our thoughts. Our mind goes where it goes, and we are either not aware of it, or we don't do anything to stop it and redirect it. And the truth is, our thoughts set the trajectory for our life. We follow the directions of our thoughts. And it means we need to ask ourselves, do I like where my thoughts are taking me? Do I like who I am based on what I'm thinking? Do I like what I do based on the thoughts that I have? We know what it looks like in our minds, right? We know it's a mess up there sometimes, and we think that we're rational and logical people, but then we also know the messiness that's going on, and we know it's not logical sometimes. We know it's irrational, and it feels out of our control. But it does not mean that we can't do something about it. It does not mean that we are not equipped to push back and change the direction of our thoughts, because we are more than just the thoughts that we have. We know that there's stuff going on up there that we need to change because who we are is shaped by what we think. What we're thinking right now helps determine who we're going to be and what we can do next and into the future. But our thoughts do not have to be in control of who we are. We can learn to change the direction. We can learn to redirect them when they get off course, and we can say, I don't want 80% of my thought life to be negative. I don't want all of those very intrusive images that come into my head to stay there and set up camp forever. I want to do something different. And I love James Clear. He said, your mind is a suggestion engine. Every thought you have is a suggestion, not an order. Sometimes your mind suggests that you are tired, that you should give up, or that you should take an easier path. But if you pause, you can discover new suggestions. For example, that you will feel good once the work is done, or that you have the ability to finish things even when you don't feel like it. Your thoughts are not orders, merely suggestions. You have the power to choose which option to follow. And I love that because we get to choose. We get to choose which thoughts we follow through on. We get to choose which thoughts we put a stop to. We get to choose which options we want to go with. Not every thought that comes into my mind has to be followed. Not every thought gets to take control of my thinking and ruin me for the day. They're suggestions, and we can choose which ones to listen to. The more we're able to do that, the more we are able to experience joy and peace and healthiness in our lives. And so today, I want to give us some tools so that we feel better equipped, one, to think through the thoughts that we're thinking, and two, take control and redirect where we find it necessary. This is what Paul says in his letter to the Philippians in chapter 4, verse 8. He said, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. There's 100 million bajillion different things we could think about on any given day, right? We know sometimes we've thought about them all in one day, and there's all different places our minds can go. But Paul says, what if we set standards for how we think? What if we had filters that we could run our thought process through that help us think in healthy ways, right? Not everything we think is helpful. Not every thought we have is healthy. Not every thought we have is good for us. Just because it pops up into my mind doesn't mean it gets to stay there and take control of my thinking. Instead, Paul says, what if we had some really good standards, some guideposts to direct us in how we think? Some filters that say, you should think about this and not this. Some guideposts that say, go this direction, not that. And so Paul says, let me give you some ideas about some things that you should think about that are helpful and healthy for you. The first one he gives us is he says, whatever is true and honorable. We live in a time where we have instant access to whatever information we want, right? Like, I can pick up my iPhone right now, and I can Google whatever I want to Google, and I can find some article, some idea, somebody who has an opinion about something. And we have up-to-date breaking news on everything that's happening around us, and we can access that all at the tip of our fingers. We know what's going on if we want to constantly. We are constantly attached to some form of communication. We are wired in, and we have social media feeds with all of those opinions. And just because somebody said it doesn't mean it's true. Just because somebody posted it on social media, and they might even have linked an article to it, does not mean it's true. Just because somebody said they heard something from somebody else does not mean it's true. And it matters, especially in our time with all of the fake stuff that exists and the constant access. I read an article once about somebody who worked for a news organization and said somebody can post something on Twitter, it can be picked up by a news, it can be completely talked about before they figure out that it's not real, but at that point, it's already gone through all of these channels and been put out there in the world. It matters that we ask questions about the information that we consume. There's a lot of information, and some of it's helpful and some of it's not. There's a lot of people talking about a lot of things, and some of it's true and some of it's not. And it matters that we ask questions, is this true? That should be a filter we use in our thought process. Is what I'm hearing true? Is this information true? And not just in the news that we're consuming and not just in the information that we're processing, but in how we think about each other and others as well. It matters that I ask myself at times, is what I'm thinking about somebody true? Because we've made assumptions about people quickly. We make snap judgments about who people are without knowing anything else about them. And before our thoughts run away from us, or before we decide who to write off or who to include, it matters that we ask ourselves, is what I'm thinking true? And how do I know that it's true? Do I have information to support it? Is my thinking in the right pattern? Because sometimes here's what happens. What's true is I'm tired and I'm grouchy. And when I'm tired and I'm grouchy, I'm not always thinking the best thoughts about other people. I'm not really willing to give people the benefit of the doubt, and I'm not really willing to let things go, and it affects how I think about other people. So before I think the worst of somebody, I should always ask, is this true? Before I think the worst about the world, is this true? Before I think the worst about God, is what I'm thinking true, and how do I know it to be true? So Paul says we can use truth as a filter in our thoughts to help us think through what is true and what is right that should be in our mind. And then we should also use honorable to back up that. So whatever is true and whatever is honorable are filters to help us in our thinking. And this honorable is what is best, what's best in me and best in others. And if we use that to layer into our thinking, how do I think what is best of other people? Where can I give somebody else the benefit of the doubt? Instead of spending my time angry and all my energy and breaking down why somebody is terrible, right? Like, I'm going to convince you that this person is as terrible as I think they are and why they shouldn't have done such a thing and how I'm going to work out the perfect argument. Do you ever walk away from a situation and then you spend, like, hours in your head thinking through what you should have said? Because if you would have said what you thought of at that moment, it would have been, like, perfect and spot on and you would have put them in your place. I got to ask, is that worth my energy? Because that's exhausting. We've all wasted a ton of time and energy working out these conversations that we've never had in our head. Is it really worth my time? What if I let it go? What if I think the best of somebody instead of the worst? And when I have this layer of whatever is true and honorable, it challenges the thoughts that come up into my head. It asks me to think through things more than just at the surface level, but at a deeper way. And Paul says, that's a beginning point, but let me give you another one. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, but then whatever is just and pure. Because one step out from true is right. Are the things I'm thinking right and just? Because the truth is, we have fragmented views of actual justice. My view of justice is fragmented and it's partial, and it's hard to comprehend the idea of absolute justice. I love, Erwin McManus says, it's like missing part of a movie. We didn't see an important part of the movie and we're trying to play catch up and trying to figure out what we missed and how it fits into the rest. And our view of justice is fragmented in this way for many reasons. Most of it is we have our view of history. Right now is what we can see, and we have access to all of existing history, but our view is right now, and we process justice through our lens of experience right now. And we can't see all that was and all that is and all that will be. We can only see what's right in front of us. And it's interesting because when you think through, people have been trying to determine what's just for thousands of years. There are ancient theories about it. There are modern theories about it. Philosophers have talked about it. Theologians have talked about it. And everybody's trying to figure out what does it mean to be just. Ancient theories of justice started with virtue. Is this virtuous? And modern theories of justice start with freedom. Does it lead to more freedom? Immanuel Kant said, justice requires us to uphold the human rights of all persons, regardless of where they live, how well we know them, simply because they're human beings capable of reason and therefore worthy of respect. That's where he began with justice. And in contrast, Aristotle believed that justice was about honor, virtue, and the nature of the good life, maintaining that we can't figure out what is a just constitution without first reflecting on what is the most desirable way to live. What's the most desirable way to do life? And for him, the law couldn't be neutral on questions of the good life. And so then justice was to do the right thing to the right extent at the right time with the right motive in the right way. That was justice. We become just by doing just acts. We become temperate by doing temperate acts. We become brave by doing brave acts. Before we can act in just ways, we have to challenge our thinking about justice. And then even more recently, Timothy Keller said it like this. He said, in ancient times, it was understood there was a transcendent moral order outside the self built into the fabric of the universe. If you violated that metaphysical order, there were consequences just as severe as if you violated physical reality by placing your hand in a fire. He said, the Bible says God's wrath flows from his love and delight in his creation. He's angry at evil and injustice because it's destroying its peace and integrity. And I know there's all kinds of conversations right now about freedom and justice and what's right. What layers have we put into our thinking to help us? What's our basis for justice? Where does justice begin for us? When my mind goes to what I think is an infringement upon my freedom and my rights, or when I see things happening that I think are just or unjust, where do my thoughts take me? Because I know for a lot of us, we are really clear on what's unfair to us. We're really clear on what shouldn't happen to us and what you can't ask of me and what I can't do. But where is my sense of justice and freedom grounded in? Because God helps us understand justice the very best. Here's what we know to be true about God. To accomplish his greatest purpose in the world, God didn't start a war. To accomplish his greatest purpose, God didn't destroy a nation or overthrow a king or a ruler. To accomplish his greatest purpose, God didn't kill, he died. When God wanted to bring about his greatest triumph in the world, he didn't send an army, he sent his son. And we understand the justice of God through Jesus Christ, his love, his sacrifice, his grace, and his forgiveness. The righteousness of Jesus Christ reminds us that he does the right thing at the right time with the right motive every single time. If ever there was an unjust act, it was when Christ was crucified for doing nothing wrong. When he was condemned as a criminal and hung on a cross and took the sins of humanity upon himself, yet he did not rant and rave about the injustice of the situation. He loved graciously and forgave mercifully. And he shares his righteousness, his goodness, his love, his grace with us. Our hearts, our minds grow when we think about Jesus Christ. Our sense of justice and what is right will grow as we think about him. But what space do we have in our life, in our day-to-day schedule, to spend time with Christ? Because as we know him, as we spend time with him and hang out with him and grow with him, it fights against the negative that creeps into our minds and our hearts. And we recognize that we don't have to work through all of the negative by ourselves. Christ is with us. We do not fight it alone. He's for us. He is on our side. And he says, we are more than enough. He gives us the strength and the courage we need to push back when our minds get away from us and help get them back to healthier places. We need a filter of what is just and what is pure in our mind to help challenge our thinking. But then Paul says we also have another layer that we can put in, another filter, whatever is lovely and commendable. Because here's the truth, there's a lot of junk that we can consume. From what we watch, to what we listen to the games we play, to what we read. There's so many things that we put into our minds. Look, part of where our minds go is an absolute reaction to what we put into ourselves, What I look at affects what I think about. What I spend my time with affects my mind and my thinking. And there's so many ugly pictures that we put into our mind. There's so many negative ideas and harsh images of humanity that we have consumed in our world. And Paul says, let me give you something to counter that with, whatever is lovely and commendable. It took me a really long time. I hate scary movies. I hate them with a passion. I hate Halloween time when there's like the big boards that are advertising like all of the like scary places you can go and they're the most horrific images. Like, I don't want those images in my head. And it took me a while. I was a young girl at one point, and it took me a while to realize, like, I don't have to go to scary movies anymore. Like, just because everybody's going to the haunted house or to see the scary movie, I don't have to do that. I hate it. But I still have some of those awful images that are in my head. And you know when they creep up? At the worst possible time, when it's 2 o'clock in the morning, when I'm home by myself, when I don't want to think, those are the images that our minds are bombarded with. But the same is true from all of the other things that we've looked at that we shouldn't have looked at, that we spent time with that our minds didn't need. And Paul says we can counter that and replace that with whatever is lovely and whatever is commendable. And this doesn't mean like you can only look at pictures of like cute puppies and rainbows, right? Like that would be unrealistic. But it does mean we should challenge ourselves on what we look at and what we consume and say, is this healthy? Is this helping my mind in any type of way? Is it producing hope or goodness in us? Or is it just another image, another harsh idea, something violent that numbs us to the reality of the world and what is good? Because the truth is, we do live in an incredible world. And yes, there is ugly, and yes, there is injustice, and yes, there is violence, and yes, there are terrible things that exist. But there's also the truth of the incredible world that we live in. And we can choose to put in images into our mind and in our life that are beautiful and filled with hope. Ideas that challenge us to think hard things and think through hard ideas together. I don't have to take anything just at face value. We can ask hard questions and think through it and the scientific process and what the world does. It's beautiful. And our mind can spend time contemplating that. We can have thoughts that look for what is lovely in this world. Instead of always having the list of what isn't working, what is bad, everything that's hard and everything that's terrible, we can have a list that says, what is beautiful in this world? What is good that I can see right now? When I look out at the creation that God has put together, the beauty of the night sky, the vastness of the ocean, the sun in the summertime that we absorb as much as we can because it's Cleveland and we know in a couple months it won't be there and it will be gray, and the beauty of fall and the Browns probably winning today, right? There are incredible things that exist in our world, and we can spend time thinking about them. Instead of time spent only thinking other people's thoughts, it's healthy for us to have time alone with our own thoughts, to think about the lovely things that exist in the world, the lovely things that exist in your family. Sometimes things come into our mind and they need to go out of it just as quickly as they came in. Other things need to be commendable that we cling to and they stick and we want to keep thinking about them. There are mental images and memories that we can cling to and never let go of. The beautiful moments that exist in our life. When I have something terrible that pops into my head, I can replace it with something that is so wonderful, I don't ever want to forget it. I want to commend it and think about it again and again and again. The moment Christ called us by name and we said yes to following him, it's a beautiful moment that we should cling to. And we should think about it again and again and again. I'll never forget the moment that my girls were born, and the first moment they laid them on my chest and I saw those beautiful little faces for the first time. I will treasure that until my dying day. Our first Sunday here in Old Brooklyn, it was such an adventure and it was so exciting to be here, and it's a memory that I will cling to. We have beautiful moments that exist in our life that we should pull out and think about again and again. Beautiful memories that we should remind ourselves of, remind others of, and talk about them because they're lovely and they're commendable. And then Paul says, let me give you one more. Whatever is excellent and worthy of praise. And this is where we have to think through, what are the excellent things that I'm putting into my mind, right? We know what the junk is. Nobody has to clarify that or define it for us. We know what the filler things are that we're wasting our time on. But what are the excellent things that are going in as well? When's the last time I challenged myself to learn something new or try a new hobby or read a book or challenge myself with studying something that I didn't know anything about? Because what happens is, as we put quality things into us that help us learn and understand what we don't know, something remarkable happens in our minds that frees us from the negative. When I'm learning something new, when I'm spending time in something that my mind hasn't spent time for, I'm creating a new path in my brain to think about these things, to practice it in my mind and run through what I'm going to do and how it's going to go, and it creates a new healthy pattern for thinking. We can put excellent things in us, which is why we say again and again and again, we got to read the Bible every single day, because the more that we are putting God's goodness into us, his truth, his life recommendations, the better quality, the better excellence we put into our mind and our thinking. And it's healthy for us, and it's good. It takes our mind away from the negative and puts it on the positive. It takes our thinking away from the bad and puts it into a healthy realm. There's nothing better you can do for your mind than to memorize scripture, because you have wonderful words that God has given us that you can go to again and again and again. When you're struggling, when you're afraid, when you're worried, when it's hard, when something bad happens, when you're celebrating something good, we have verses that we can call to mind that are excellent things we can put inside of us. But we also have things that are worthy of praise. This is where we look for the good. We are on the hunt for what is good, because we find what we're looking for. And what I'm looking for, I will absolutely find and see. And when we are looking for things worthy of praise, we're saying, I'm going to practice thinking about things that I'm grateful for. I'm going to practice gratitude, because gratitude is good for our minds and our hearts and our souls. And it pushes us to see beyond just what is hard and to look for the good. It helps us to see what we can delight in and what brings us joy. Remember, joy is at the heart of God's plan for humanity. God created us to experience and know joy. And we experience joy in gratitude. We can practice thinking about what's good in our life. We can practice thinking about what's good in our family. Practice thinking about what's good at work in our community. Every day, we can write down 5 things that we are grateful for. Keep a book of it. Keep a notebook. I told you I've been practicing. I've lost track now, but I have notebooks. And every day, sometimes I miss a day or two, but I can pick it back up. I'm writing down, what am I grateful for? And you can go back and reflect and look on and remember things that happened that were good. Every day, we turn our mind to gratitude and praise and excellence. And Paul says, when we think about these things, it's healthy for us. When we think about these things, we will find joy and well-being. We can fix our mind on these ideas instead of only being bombarded with the negative and the hard. If 80% of my thinking is negative, it is too much. And I refuse to give that much away of myself to something that I don't want. I refuse to give that much access of my heart and my mind to something that does not grow us in healthy and good ways. Our lives are moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. We go where we think. What if our thoughts became focused not on the negative, but instead whatever is true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, and gracious? What if we thought about the best and not the worst, the beautiful and not the ugly, things to praise and not things to curse? Because as our thoughts change, our actions change. As our choices, our direction, and our focus change, so does our experience. Our life experience changes. So here's what I want to challenge us all to do this week. I want you to do a thought audit. Just every single day, keep track of what your thoughts are. Have a little notebook, create a note on your phone, whatever you like to keep track of stuff in. Just write down what you're thinking. Where it's unhealthy or filled with fear, worry, negative, toxic, or hopeless, find ways to push back against it. Use Philippians 4:8. There's a great life verse that you can memorize. Write it out on a card. Write it out and send it to yourself. Put it somewhere you can see it in your car, in your mirror at home, and say it again and again and again. Because we get to be in control of what our heart is thinking and where it's going. We get to replace what we don't like. If I don't like the direction my thoughts are taking me, we get to choose and we get to change. And we get all of these awesome replacement filters that Paul has given us that help us become healthy and whole. And as we do this in our thinking, what we find is the peace of Jesus Christ. Peace that leads to wholeness, delight, and fulfillment. The kind of peace that gives us a sense of well-being and hope for the future. The kind of peace, friends, that is only found in connection to Jesus Christ. You were created by a wonderful, loving God. You were created to live your life to the fullest. Let him help you. Let him direct you and guide you and take back control of what is happening in our minds. I love this quote from Eleanor Roosevelt. She said, "We do not have to become heroes overnight, just a step at a time, meeting each thing that comes up, seeing it not as dreadful as it appears, discovering that we have the strength to stare it down." What if we just took one step in this direction this week? What if we chose one of these filters to replace in our thinking? What if we took one step with Christ and see what he might do? Because here's what I promise that I know to be true. In Christ, we have the strength to take a step at a time every single day. In Christ, we have all that we need to stare down the things that are hard and too much and negative and claim the joy and the life that he has created us for. What if we took one step with him this week and see what our gracious God might do? Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us. I pray that you would encourage us. I pray, Father, that you would give us the strength, the awareness, the ability to challenge our own thinking, to take back control of our thoughts and the direction of our life. I pray, Father, that you would help us to replace what is harmful and negative and unhealthy with what is right, just, pure, true, and good in you. Help us, I pray, that in all we do, Christ might be glorified. In his name we pray. Amen.